Willie, I understand your father told you when you were 14 years old that find something you you want to do, do it for the rest of your life, and it won't feel like a job. Yeah. Is that fair?
Said, find a job you love, and you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
There's a lot of truth to that.
I actually, I'm one of those people that saw you play professional hockey. I do think I know how you played the game. How would you describe it to people who never saw you play? There's a lot of young people, how you played the game of hockey.
Well, I was the an aggressive player. I liked to hit and occasionally get hit. I was a goal scorer. I really worked on scoring goals, shooting the puck as much as I could when I get the opportunity. They say every time you get a shot towards the net, there's the possibility of the puck going in. And all the years that I played, that's the tone I took, and won the goal scoring a couple of times mm-hmm. in the Western League. But I enjoyed the game. I started playing at an early age, thanks to my older brother, who was my mentor and my friend, and taught me a lot about the game that I'd need to know if I was going to choose it as a profession, and played up until I was 54. And then I retired in San Diego after a 21-year professional career.
So I remember you being in Vancouver at the All-Star Game.
Yes.
Which was a turning point in your career.
98.
And we were about to go to the Olympics.
Yes.
But that weekend in Vancouver where there was a real connection between you and the people at the National Hockey League.
Yes. The All-Star Game just happened to fall on my 40th anniversary. Of breaking the color barrier. Commissioner Bettman appointed me the director of the, at that time was the NHL's diversity program, which is now Hockey is for Everything. And
you and Kenny Martin, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have to credit Commissioner Bettman when he gave me that appointment. It just opened a new door for me and actually changed my life.
Willie, I want you to take us back to 1958 because I heard a great radio interview today where you called it the thrill of a lifetime right after that first game. And it is a thrill of any player's lifetime that gets to suit up in the National Hockey League. I know hindsight's 20/20, but was it almost bothering you that that was the topic, the color barrier was the topic, instead of just, hey, I've realized my dream?
Never thought about the color barrier. I had went to the Bruins training camp on two occasions in 1957. In 58, then I went back to the Quebec Aces, the pro team that I was playing with. The Bruins got a hold of the Aces and said, we want O'Ree to meet the Bruins in Montreal to play two games against the Montreal Canadiens. So when I stepped on the ice on January the 18th, 1958, you know, I became the first black player to play in the National Hockey League. But I was no stranger to the Montreal fans because I had played against the Montreal Canadiens in exhibition games. I played against the Montreal Junior Canadiens in the Forum, played against the Montreal Royals, the pro team there mm-hmm. in the Forum. So when I stepped on the ice, I was just Willie O'Ree with not a Quebec mm-hmm. Aces jersey on, but with a Boston Bruins jersey on.
Was racism an issue then? And I guess more importantly for our audience, is racism in hockey an issue now?
It still is. Yeah, the players are still getting the racial slurs and racial remarks. Even myself, I haven't played in the league since, 1961 when I left the league. And I still get racial remarks from
wow.
people I've never met before, you know, restaurants, gas stations. But I learned from my older brother when I was growing up. He said, Willie, he says, names will never hurt you unless you let them. He says, if people can't accept you for the individual that you are, because at the time you had the skills and the ability to play in the National Hockey League. I fought a lot when I first started. I fought because I had to, not because I wanted to, but guys just wanted to see what I was made of. And, you know, back then, none of the players wore any helmets, no face shields, no cages. Guys always used to take shots at my head. So, I fought, won fights, lost fights, but I never fought one time because of racial remarks, because I knew it'd be in the penalty box all the time. I just let it went in one ear and out the other, and thanks to my older brother who just told me, he said, you know, just go out and concentrate on playing hockey and trying to represent the hockey club to the best of your ability. And he says, let everything else go by the wayside. And basically, that's what I tried to do.
What teammate on that Bruin team did you feel embraced you quicker than any other?
Johnny Busick, the chief. Yeah. The whole team was very, very supportive. You know, on the ice, they would watch my back, and you know, in restaurants and things like that, they were always there. I have the highest admiration and the highest respect for the Bruin organization. It's the only team I played for in the NHL,
right?
And I felt very comfortable being with them.
Well, if we actually listed all the players who count you as an influence, this show would be about 15 hours long. But who are the players that when you were growing up that were, you know, the people you looked up to, the people that you really wanted to follow in their footsteps?
Well, my older brother, Richard, as I mentioned. Ozzie and Herbie, Carnegie and Manny McIntyre, they were the black line that played up in Quebec.
Right.
Gordie Howe and the Rocket were two that were kind of my idols when I was growing up. I watched them both, and then I had the opportunity to play against the both of them when the Bruins brought me up.
How gratifying is it that you've been given a chance to give back to the game and hopefully grow the game for a ton of young people that didn't have the opportunities that even you had?
I'm very, very grateful and very honored, really, to be in a position now to, you know, give back to the sport and give back to the community what hockey had given me over the 21 years that I played. And as I mentioned, when Commissioner Bettman appointed me the director, it just opened doors up for me that I could go out and try and reach out to as many boys and girls as possible and let them know that there is another sport that they can play if they want to. I traveled around to numerous schools, boys and girls clubs, YMYWCAs, juvenile detention facilities, any place where I found that there was kids available that they could play the sport. And if they came and they didn't like it, they could just walk away from it. It wasn't going to cost them anything.
One final question. It's going to be my personal question because I loved the Western League. I loved the old Western
League. So did I.
It was magnificent hockey. Guys on the way down, guys on the way up.
Exactly.
Who was the best player you played against in that league?
Kyle Fielder played with the Seattle Totem.
And he should be in the Hockey Hall
yes.
of Fame.
Yes. If you couldn't score 50 goals playing with him, you shouldn't play the game. That's honest. I mean, he was such a playmaker.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, we're thrilled for you. We're thrilled for the game of hockey, and we're thrilled of what you have done for the game. Congratulations, and enjoy Monday.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, gentlemen.